You know where he was? I can tell you exactly where he was. He was right there with you. He was right there with you the whole time. Even though you were feeling all the noise of the world, the whirlwinds going on, the earthquakes taking place in your life, the fire that was coming up under your feet, all we had to do was take our time and try to focus off of the events and focus on him. And you would have found him there in the midst of what you were looking at. So I want to assure you that when you're going through these times, not only is he with you on that day, he'll be with you the next day and the day thereafter, and he'll be there with you till he escorts you, if you're his, if you're truly someone who has given your life in fullness to him, been born again, as the scripture says, he will escort you right into the presence of heaven. In Isaiah 4-3, you might want to write this down, Isaiah 43 and verses 2 and 3, the prophet, being borne along by God the Holy Spirit, he wrote this: when you go through the deep waters, when you're going through a divorce, when you're going through the deep waters, when you're going through life with someone who has an issue with alcoholism or with drug abuse, when you're going through the deep waters, he says, I will be with you. Now that's a promise, family. I will be with you. And he goes on to say, he says, when you go through the rivers of difficulty, when you go to the doctor's office and you don't get the report that you were hoping for, when you find yourself going into your manager's office and he surprises you with, you're going to be part of our downsizing. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, he says, you will not drown. And the reason for that is because he said, I will be with you. The next sentence, he says, when you walk through the fire of oppression, when you find yourself being ridiculed because of the occupation you hold, when you find yourself being blasted with terms you never really thought you would hear come out of the mouth of someone because of your race, he says, as you go through this oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. In other words, God has promised his people. As you know, Isaiah is writing to the Jewish people. But this morning, he's writing to his people, the church. And he is speaking to us, and he's telling us that God has promised to protect his people from utter termination, from your utter destruction. And then he goes on and he says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I think the terms Savior become bogged down in too much of, I've heard it too often. It's not that special to me to hear, he's my Savior. To understand, he really is your Savior. He is with you in the midst of whatever the trials may be. Deep waters, rushing rivers, you're not going to succumb, you're not going to drown, you're not going to get burned up in the flames of what's going on in this world today. As we look at what our part is to be as GHCCers in a world of racism and corruption, he's our Savior. Man, he's pulled us out. He reached out, and by the counsel of his own will, he decided you who have given your life to him, you've appropriated Christ as your Lord, your Master, your Savior. He has selected you to be his own. And he'll never, never leave you. The psalmist David, he tells us, in Psalm 23:4, he says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Even though I go through this darkest valley, I saw the doctor, and the doctor tells me that what I'm going to be going through next is going to be chemotherapy, and the next thing is going to be some radiation, and I'm going to lose my hair." And you're saying, "Ron, that's no big deal for you." But we're going to go through these things, and he says, "I will be with you. I will be with you. Even though I walk through this darkest valley, my spouse is so, so sick." He's not saying, "I'll just be with him or her." He's saying, "I will be with you, the spouse who isn't sick. I'm going to be there for you." These things that I'm sharing with you right now, as we've been looking at the tongue in reflection, as we think about racism and corruption and the use of the tongue. And the tongue is being used this morning, hopefully, to bring encouragement to you. It is to build you up. It is to take you away from depression and to give you that hope that our Lord intends for you to walk in every day, because he knows the world in which we live. It has been given over to the evil one, and there is corruption all around us. And there are those who are bigots. And I would suspect there are some of us, if we're honest. Our bigotry may not be racism, it may be something else, a political party, and a person who holds a particular political position. Or occupation. Family, he's going to be with you. He will be with you. He will be with you. He will be with you. You don't have to fear evil. If your candidate doesn't make it into the presidency in January at the swearing in, God is still with you. And God is still with his family. You see, folks, when the pilgrims, when they arrived here, they were running away from persecution. They're running away from persecution on religious grounds. And we became that quote-unquote a Christian nation. But the Native Americans who were here, they weren't Christians. They worshipped all kinds of other little gods that represented the creation and not the creator, for the most part. But we've been seen to be a Christian nation in the distant past, because today we aren't. And like Israel of old, they invited all the gods, Asheroth and these other gods, Moloch and so forth, into their midst. They set up altars to worship them. And our Heavenly Father said, enough's enough. And because of that, there's going to be correction coming upon the people of God. There will be correction and there will be punishment. And America has invited in all these other gods and turned her back, for the most part, on the one true living God. And early this morning, I guess really last night, but as I'm listening to the news at 3 o'clock in the morning, I hear about the bombings again in New York City, which only back up to what was taking place earlier in the week and the shooting of all these people in Philadelphia. It's an awful thing that is going to happen, but family, unless the church decides that she is going to be the church in America and stand up, like, say, Walk for Life, we're going to have to buy more white roses because everybody is sharing during the week. If we don't see this taking place, the red roses, people coming to faith all across America, then all we can anticipate is the wrath of God. And it will begin with the household of God. He's told us that. But as I said, you don't have to be afraid. As a child of God, Jesus said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. We're told in Romans 8, beginning verse 31, that the love of God, we can never be separated from those of us who are his children. We will never be separated from his love. The Bible also tells us in Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus, as Pastor Eugene said earlier this morning, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful to his brothers and his sisters. Our Heavenly Father is faithful to his children. And the Holy Spirit is there with us, come rain or shine. Sometimes when we pray, it may seem like Jesus is taking an awful long time to answer our prayers. Anybody feel that way? Am I the only one? No? Good. Three of us. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes through for us, it's later than we expected, isn't it? He wants us to pour out our hearts to him. He will enter into your pain and mine. He will be with us, and he will be with us and answer our prayers. But his delays are delays of love. He knows what's best. I don't. I think I do, and I prefer what I think I do, but the reality is he's God. He knows all things. So he'll enter into our pain. He will answer in a way he chooses. So I just want to encourage you, use this device that he's placed in our mouths. Use the tongue for the way he was talking to us last week. Let us use it for good. Let us pray. Let us cry aloud, even as some of the lyrics to the first song that we sang today. Let us cry aloud. Going back to page 2 of your notes at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, very quickly, he says, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all rage and anger and harsh words and slander. Family, we have no business entering in as children of God and doing these things. And as I read them, I just go, oh, gee whiz, I have to teach this stuff? But he says, get rid of all bitterness. I mean, last Sunday, maybe you saw it in the LA Times. It said, in San Bernardino, The toll of violence is mounting. The city is still recovering from the terror attacks of December 2nd last year, and it's moving toward the highest homicide rate it's had in 20 years. People are very bitter, very mad. As I shared with you last week, the statistics show us nationally to be Los Angeles is the road rage capital of the world, or of the United States. And most of us have had opportunity to see that right in front of us, or maybe we participated in it. In USA Today, on the 31st, of August, the article read this way: Chicago murder toll hits 462 for the year. Now, that wasn't calculating in the 31st because the paper comes out early in the morning. They had over 500 murders for the year, but during the month of August, 86 killings so far in August must be the city's most violent month since 1996. Family, do you understand what I'm really saying here? Because of the anger, the rage, and the corruption that is out there, and the racism, we see this running amok in our country. Our country has gone nuts. I mean, we have had two, and I hope that this is, it remains this way till we're completely out of Afghanistan, but two of our young men, service people, have been killed this year in Afghanistan. Two. And we've had some 462 murdered in Chicago. 86 in the month of August. 81 in the month of August. Our country is at war with itself. So family, we need to take to heart. We need to be the ones to, and this is hard, I know, because we have this war with the flesh going on in with our spirit. I recognize that. I do recognize it, because my flesh sometimes, where in the world did you come from? I know exactly where it came from. It wants to run after and worship the devil again. It's prone to wander. It's prone to go and sin. And use this thing, the tongue, on its way. So we need to get rid of the bitterness, the rage, the anger, the harsh words, slander, and all types of evil behavior. But the only way we're going to get rid of it is with the aid, the very help, our immersing ourselves in the Holy Spirit. You see, some things are not possible with men. And that is dealing with this fleshliness, our humanness. But all things are possible with Him. In Him, we can get our strength, right? I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. It's just remembering these things and being more and more immersed in the written word. And He gave us the insteads. Insteads, be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Be sympathizing. Be loving towards other people, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Look at your notes. Here's your fill-in. Our Lord Jesus wants us to speak with love. He wants us to speak with agapao love, seeking the other person's, remember, His best, her best, His greatest good, her greater good, at our expense. It's just the remembering of that I find so cut and pick and difficult. But the more and more we spend time with our Heavenly Father, the more and more we will have victory over these things. Because it'll be the Spirit of God who is initiating the fruit of the Spirit rather than the flesh. So our Lord Jesus wants us to speak with love and to declare the truth boldly, His truth. Continue to share the truth. And the truth also, when we're messing up here, like in verse 31 of Ephesians 4. But Satan also wants a piece of the action. He tries to keep us in the dark about the power of our words and entices us to use them for harm instead of for hope. That's why we have to do well at watching our mouths. The psalmist says, put a guard over my mouth. So many times I get myself in trouble because of my mouth, but other times, you know, I don't have anything good to say. My flesh is shouting so loud, I just stay quiet. I've got to get to the wee small voice, to the being tender-hearted, to the being kind, being compassionate, to being forgiving, as I've been forgiven. So we have to watch our mouths, and we must be careful as to what we say and what we write. And today, because of social media, those of you who engage in that, can I say something? And I say it with respect. Will you please write in Christian language? Will you write as Christ would write? We have to be careful, family. You know, some of us say some really awful things out loud and through print about different people in our government. Now you have to ask yourself, if what I've got on my printed page, is that what my Lord Jesus would say? All right for you, good for you. Keep that up there because that's good. Or would he say to you, son, daughter, you're breaking my heart. You're not trusting in me, are you? You're all bent out of shape with this person over here, and I'm going to deal with them. Are you praying for them? When was the last time you prayed for them? Are you embracing them in my love as I embraced you, you cotton-picking sinner? I'm loving you right now, he says, in spite of the fact that you have said and or written some really hurtful things. My love for you is eternal. But you need to remember to live your life as I have called you to live it, as a man or woman in Christ Jesus, my son. We need to surrender our wholeness of ourselves to the Lord Jesus and remember what he's reminded us of so many times throughout the years, and that is, he's Lord, meaning master, and we're his slaves by choice. So let's do what he's asked us to do. Let's get rid of all these things that he mentioned in verse 31. Instead, let's do these things that he speaks of in verse 32. Only then, with the tongue submitted to the will of God, can we hope to master this great power that has been given to us to bless and to encourage and to speak of hope. Our words are meant to be loving and empowering. Ephesians 4:29, you see it there in your notes, through 32. We've already done the last two, but here he says in 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Let no sapros, let no rotten, like food that you've seen on the side of the road, corroded with maggots and so forth, rotting, right before your eyes. He's saying, let no rotten, defiling, or causing dissension words come out of your mouth. Don't cause dissension in your family. Don't cause dissension in your church family. Anything that injures another is not being wholesome, not being in Christ. This isn't Christ-like character. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is agathos, that is good, that is upright, that is beneficial for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace, that it may give enablement to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It's a present imperative, family. It is a present imperative in the continuous sense. This is what my kids do, he's saying. But bearing in mind, this is being written to the Ephesian church family, and now it's being delivered to us in its fullness as we look deeply into the text. And he's telling us, but only that which is agathos, building up as fits the occasion, that it may give enablement to those who hear, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, bring sorrow and pain upon the Holy Spirit of God. He is a person. We are not to bring pain into his life by our speech. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We have this promise. We've been redeemed. And he lives in us. We are the sanctuary of God. And he is in us. And that's our seal. We can see the changes that have taken place in our lives because we are new creations in Christ Jesus, created for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. We are the light and the salt of the world. We are the ones that people are going to see the mighty works of God through and through our mouths, and they're going to give glory not to you or me, but to him. And then he says, let all bitterness and let all wrath and let all anger and let all clamor and let all slander be put away from you, along with all malice. But then we get this other present imperative. And he says, be kind to one another. We just saw that. But he says, be kind to one another. That's a command from our Heavenly Father to us, his kids. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to do it much of the time. Be kind to one another. Write the word be before tenderhearted. It's a command. You be tenderhearted. And then before forgiving, write the word be. It's a command. Be forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. We have freely been forgiven, family. And I know that there is an individual in my life right now, I'm having a real hard time with that. I've got to forgive this person maybe, if I think about it, a half a dozen times a day. Well, are you really forgiving them, Ron? I think in the interim, yeah. In between the, please, Father, forgive this person. Just turn my life upside down in some ways when this person comes to mind. And I've got to forgive this person because if I think about it, I don't know this person's heart, but I do know what mine was like and what it can be like. And I hate my fleshliness. I hate my sin. But I don't, I think, hate it enough because I just have such a hard time with my flesh. You know, Luke, it's not in your notes. Luke 6:36. Our Lord says, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. We're to be merciful. We've received mercy. In Proverbs 16:24, it's not in your notes, write it down. Solomon, he writes and he says, pleasant words are a honeycomb. Isn't that good? Pleasant words, you know, they're sweet. They're like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And Ecclesiastes, write this down, Ecclesiastes 7:9. Again, Solomon, he writes, control your temper, for anger labels you as a fool. I don't mind being a fool for Christ. But this man who stands before you is too many times a fool, period, because of his mouth. I hope you pray often for me. I hope you pray very often for me. The question that I asked a few days ago and that's on page one of your notes is, who are you listening to and what are you reading? Are you listening to the Lord, family? Are you reading the precious Word of God, the breath of God that's been given to us? I want to encourage you, if you're doing tons of it, do tons more. And those of you who are barely, you know, you pull out your Bible and it's still like new and you've had it for 10 years. Really use it. Really read it. Really let Him speak to you. Really let Him encourage you. Let Him love on you. Let Him draw you near. And you draw near to Him, and you share your heart with Him, and just be completely open, because He already knows, but you be real, for He is real, and He will love you. You will sense that love more than possibly you might have sensed in the past. Well, there in your notes it says, remember what Paul told us. The Holy Spirit told us to reveal to us in Philippians 4 and Romans 12. Do you remember all that? I seriously doubt any of you do. So I will tell you all about that, but next week. Okay? So let's talk to our Heavenly Dad, shall we? Our gracious Father. Father, you're too good for human words. I cannot, maybe a brother or sister here this morning can. I cannot express how grateful I am. We can be for your presence in our lives. Thank you for comforting us in the worst of times. Thank you for celebrating with us in the best of times. Thank you that your words to your church family are not to bring condemnation upon us, for there is no condemnation upon your children. But they are sometimes rough and gruff because we're rough and tough, so we think. And you're trying to get our attention by speaking to us strongly. And so you should, because you're the perfect Father. And we're the imperfect sons and daughters. We're not like Jesus. But our hope is to become more and more like Him. And we know that you've promised that one day we will be like Him, other than the fact that He is God and we will not be as we are not now. But we will be conformed to His wonderful characteristics. And we will not be prone to hurt each other. We will be prone to be tender-hearted with one another. It will be second nature to be tender with one another. It will be our joy to forgive the person who hurts us or that we perceive as hurting someone else, even those that are in power today in this country, raised up by you, that we may perceive you're hurting this nation. Nothing gets by you. You knew where we would be today before you created us. You have a plan. And your son Job made it clear to us in the last chapter of his marvelous book that you gave to us through the Holy Spirit, where he says, no purpose of yours will be thwarted, none. And we are grateful for that. You have your plan, and it's higher in our ways. In your words, sometimes we just don't fully understand. And we can say that's okay, but for some of it's still a frustration. But nonetheless, it is okay, Father, for you know what's best for us. And we will learn, if necessary, day by day, to trust in that, because you are our gracious, wonderful, merciful, loving Father. So it is in your Son's rich, saving name that we ask this prayer. And we offer up to you this music, my Lord. We offer up to you these lyrics, which becomes expressions of our heart. Because we love you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.